You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's 10 o'clock and coming up at 11.30 tonight, Max Reinhardt introduces tonight's Late Junction. But now it's time for the second of this evening's proms, which is presented from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall in London.
Good evening, everyone. It's a three-part birthday celebration here at the Royal Albert Hall tonight, live on BBC Radio 3 with me, Tom Service. Music by three composers, all of them born three centuries ago in 1710. W.F. Bach, one of Johann Sebastian's sons, Thomas Arne, yes, there's more to him than Rule Britannia, and Giovanni Battista Pergolesi. Christian Kernin and the group he founded, the Early Opera Company, all of them making their proms debuts here tonight, will perform Pergolesi's masterpiece, his Stabat Mater, in the company of soloists Elizabeth Watts and Anna Stefani. But they start their concert with a sinfonia by W.F. Bach. Now, Wilhelm Friedemann was Johann Sebastian's favourite, but also his most wayward son. He didn't just lose a lot of his father's manuscripts, he managed to lose quite a lot of his own music too. Thankfully, though, this sinfonia in D minor did survive. Two movements, an adagio and a fugue, that fuse a sort of Baroque formality and rigour with a classical simplicity and passion. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on stage here at the Royal Albert Hall to conduct the Early Opera Company, his Early Opera Company, in this proms premiere performance of Wilhelm Friedemann Bach's Sinfonia in D minor, Christian Kernin. Wilhelm Friedemann Bach's D minor Sinfonia, the early opera company conducted at the Royal Albert Hall by Christian Koenig. Difficult to know whether W.F. Bach is a villain or a hero of music history. Hearing that, you think we should hear more of his music, and yet how much of his father, Johann Sebastian's music, did he lose? Well, a symphony by another of 1710's birthday boys. Next, Thomas Arne's Symphony No. 4 in C minor. Now, if you've heard of Arne at all, it's almost certainly because he wrote that imperial tub-thumper, Rule Britannia. But Christian Koenig says that Arne's instrumental music, like the set of symphonies of which this is the last, reveals a different side to the composer.
This set, which comes from very late in his life, are essentially his attempt to mirror what was going on in Europe. He'd seen the Mannheim School, Esterházy and Haydn, and the developments of C.P. Bach, and tried to emulate them in these very successful symphonies, particularly this C minor one, which is full of volatile energy, really. I think the first movement is definitely the strongest by a long way. I think it's really worthy of Haydn, and there's a real sense of drama, Sturm und Drang, about the movement. The second movement is very beautiful. The third movement goes back a bit. It's more the sort of Hey Nonino that we know, but it's still beautifully scored, and it's a tiny bit of light in this very dark prom.
Christian Koenig. Well, don't let that talk of Hey Nonino put you off too much. As Christian was saying, that first movement is really an impressive piece of work. It's funny, there's so much music of the 18th century that we just don't know. Our attention is focused so much on just a handful, possibly three figures. Isn't it really the late 18th century, Mozart, Haydn and Gluck? But hearing this symphony in rehearsal today, and as you're about to, I think you'll agree that this is music we ought to hear more of. What about the other three Arne symphonies, for example? In his lifetime, Arne was really most famous as a theatre composer, not just for Rule Britannia. Last year at the Limbury Opera Studio at Covent Garden, there was a production of Artaxerxes, one of his serious operas that was staged. And again, it revealed a real flair, not just for the theatre, but a musical and dramatic flair for characterisation and for pacing. Music, of course, that Christian Koenig is relishing bringing to the proms on this, his debut. You were telling me earlier that in putting this programme together, the Pergolesi was a sort of bolt-on thing as a celebration of 1710, but his suggestion was the Wilhelm Friedemann Bach. So here he comes on stage to conduct the early opera company. In this performance, this another proms premiere performance, Thomas Arne's Fourth Symphony in C minor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Told you, something a wee bit different than Rule Britannia there. Some typically good tunes though. Thomas Arne's Fourth Symphony in C minor. Christian Kernan conducted the early opera company. The harpsichord continuo in that performance was by James McVinney. An expanded early opera company that from the first piece on tonight's programme, W.F. Bach's A Sinfonia in D minor. Christian Kernan bringing his woodwind players and two horn players. Two horns, one bassoon, a couple of oboes and a couple of flutes. Though the flute parts for tonight's performance were reconstructed since way back in 1767, they were lost. Those wonderful swirls of those period horns, fantastic shapes of these period instruments, as well as, of course, the sounds they make. Well, the most famous of our 1710 composers for the final and longest work of this live late-night prom, Giovanni Battista Pergolesi's Stabat Mater. Scored for strings and two female soloists, this piece, composed in the last year of Pergolesi's short life, he died at just 26 of tuberculosis in a monastery near Naples, became one of the most famous works of the whole of the 18th century. It was reprinted more than any other single work and assumed an almost mythical spiritual significance. But despite its fame, this is the first time that tonight's soloist, mezzo-soprano Anna Stefani and soprano Elizabeth Watts, have sung this music.
It's a piece that I'm very familiar with. I think lots of people are. A very, very beautiful piece. So I was really pleased to be given the chance to actually perform it for the first time.
And me the same. I used to teach the choristers singing lessons at Sheffield Cathedral, and about 10 years ago I was coaching girl choristers on this piece, but I'd never actually sung it. So it's quite nice to be airing my thoughts on the radio 10 years later.
But the piece is sort of about the dynamic between you two. Of course, your solo numbers and the duets you have. I mean, do you know each other's voices well? Have you worked together before to be able to slot into the Stabat Mater?
We first worked together in a British Youth Opera production of Semele with Christian, in fact, which was probably, gosh, you
6 years ago,
something like that. Yeah.
So how is the dynamic between you two then? I mean, do you have to sort of, you know, modulate your voices to each other? Do you balance each other? How does it work?
I suppose subconsciously we do, yeah. But
we're
We
both sung in choirs when we were younger, mm-hmm. and we say, mm-hmm. I think we're used to blending with other people and that
and sort
Liz
of skill. Is very musical, and
as is
you
Anna.
Know, so it's easy, really. It's nice.
Tonight's very friendly soloist, soprano Elizabeth Watts, and mezzo-soprano Anna Stefani. One of these things about Pergolesi's reputation is a wonderful thing in Lindsay Kemp's biography of Pergolesi in tonight's programme, which you can see online, bbc.co.uk/proms. The French composer Gretry said, Pergolesi was born and truth was known. So here then, to perform Pergolesi's Stabat Mater, from soprano soloist Elizabeth Watts, mezzo-soprano Anna Stefani, and conductor Christian Kernan. The early opera company, two soloists and Christian Kernan, this performance of Pergolesi's Stabat Mater here at the Royal Albert Hall.
Thank you. Oh.
Pergolesi's Stabat Mater here at the Royal Albert Hall. Christian Koenig conducted his early opera company, and the two soloists were mezzo-soprano Anna Stefani and soprano Elizabeth Watts. Hearing that music, it's no wonder that there was so much of a Pergolesi industry after his death at that terribly young age of 26 in 1736. Publishers misattributed much music to Pergolesi because they knew they could sell it if they slapped Pergolesi's name on the front cover. One of the subsequent victims of the scam was none other than Igor Stravinsky, who thought he was arranging much of Pergolesi's music, and Pulcinella, it was of course, in fact, as it was proven, working with other composers' music. Elizabeth Watson, Anna Stefani and Christian Koenig on stage again, and Christian Koenig bringing the strings of the early opera company to their feet. Work that was first performed in its entirety here not until 1970. Extraordinary it took that long. It won't be another 40 years before we hear it again at the proms, I'm sure. Who knows, maybe some of Pergolesi's operas too. And so with the applause here at the Royal Albert Hall ringing in all of our ears after that fantastic performance, time to hand you back now to Broadcasting House and Jonathan Swin. Jonathan.
Tom, thank you very much. Tom Service there at the Royal Albert Hall. And just to say, if you'd like to submit a review of tonight's prom, then just go to bbc.co.uk/proms and click on share. As for prom events in the near future...
When is the last night of the proms not the last night of the proms? When there are two. Henry Wood was the founder-conductor of the proms, and we're paying tribute to him this year by recreating his last night of the proms as heard 100 years ago. The BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Paul Daniel, play the original programme of short classics like Wagner's Flying Dutchman Overture and Henry Wood's own now famous Fantasia on British Sea Songs. And, carrying on Henry Wood's commitment to new work, David Matthews has written a piece for the award-winning cellist Stephen Isserlis. So join me, Sarah Moore-Peach, as we step back in time to hear the last night of the proms from 1910, this Sunday afternoon, starting at 2:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
Back to this evening, and in 18 minutes' time from now, tonight's edition of Late Junction. Harvest, Outlaws and Harps, with the fate of John Barleycorn discussed backstage by Traffic. The Mississippi String Band on the trail of Jesse James, and Rhodri Davis in league with John Bruckner, plus Nina Simone. That's all in Late Junction tonight with Max Reinhardt, starting at 11:30. Well, until then, Poulenc for unaccompanied chorus. Poulenc used to ask himself, probably not entirely seriously, why he hadn't been born in the 15th century, as the old church music seemed to come so naturally to him. You might wonder, I suppose, what happened to all the fugal devices and passages and imitations so beloved of the old masters, very few of them in Poulenc's music. What there is the way he creates textures that often bring to mind the sound of the organ, and often very startling harmonies or intervals to heighten the expressive impact of the text. Well, the texts of these four motets for Holy Week, or motets for a time of penitence, as he called them, the texts obviously have plenty of opportunity for heightened expressive impact. The last three of them are all concerned in one way or another with the crucifixion. Poulenc wrote them in the late 1930s and said they were as tragic and realistic as any Mantegna painting. And looking at the Mantegna painting of the crucifixion is perhaps to see some kind of kinship. The music, equally statuesque and yet dramatic. The performers here, the Berlin Rias Chamber Choir, conducted by Marcus Creed. And this first of the motets, the psalm, Timor et Tremor, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. the setting of those final lines there. I shall go to be crucified for you. One of the most hauntingly beautiful things in all Poulenc. Those were Poulenc's four motets for a time of penitence. Music he put the finishing touches to in 1939. And that recording with the Berlin Rias Chamber Choir, conducted by Marcus Creed. Well, at 1 o'clock tonight, I'll be taking you through the night here on Radio 3 with, in the first couple of hours, piano trios by Mozart and Schumann, Brahms' G minor first piano quartet, and a performance of Beethoven's Eighth Symphony. Do join me for that if you can, starting, as I say, at 1 o'clock.
The Berlin Philharmonic and Sir Simon Rattle return to the Royal Albert Hall this week for the first of their two eagerly anticipated proms, and for them this is core repertoire. Beethoven's dramatic Fourth Symphony and Mahler's First, which recalls a youthful song cycle. Join me, Andrew McGregor, for the Berlin Philharmonic at the BBC Proms tomorrow night at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11:30 and time now for Late Junction with Max Reinhardt.
I want more, more. Daddy, you know what I wanna hear. I want some more and then some. That I love you only, dear. I want some more than some of how you feel and then when you done told me about a million times how much you love me and you threw. Start right back in again. I've made the same mistake. I know the awful ache of a little heart that's been double crossed. Been so long, so long, it's hard to be believing. I thought I'd missed my guess. I thought happiness for me was lost. I want more, some more, some more than some. Whisper from now on till doomsday, but I never, no, 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 ooh, I never, no, I never will get enough.
Nina Simone, with a classic statement of what she expects from the man in her life. It was her version of the Billie Holiday standard, Tell Me More and More and Then Some. It's from her album Pastel Blues, and that was Al Shankman on harmonica. I'm Max Reinhardt, and welcome to a Late Junction which certainly aspires to bring you more and more and then some. Like this next tune from Mice Parade, a New York band who are celebrated for their unclichéd and, at best, unhinged take on influences from the vernacular music pop. You can see them in person next month on a 6-date lightning tour of these islands, but for the moment, clutch this to your bosom. from their new album, What It Means to Be Left-Handed, Tokyo Late Night.
Thank you.
Pandan Bank, featuring John Butcher on saxophone, feedback and motors, and Rodri Davies on a variety of harps, some with speakers embedded in them. It's from their new album, Kallio, which could well become something of a fixture on Lake Junction over the next few months. From the brand new to a band who have been celebrating their 25th anniversary this year, Irish traditional folkist Altan. Here they are with a wedding song. You can't have too many of them, really, can you? Weddings or wedding songs, I don't mind. This one's from Rathlin Island off the coast of County Antrim, Donal Agus Morag.
Thank you. Hey.